HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Rafah Gate is open and more people are getting out of Gaza. Here's CBS's Robert Berger.
We know that foreign passport holders are crossing the border. Officials say it will be about 400 or 500 who are allowed to cross today.
The U.S. confirms a handful of Americans are among them. No change to interest rates today, despite high inflation. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell.
Today, we decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings.
It's the second time in a row rates remained unchanged. And actors are still fighting for contract changes in Hollywood. And today, hundreds of union members are picketing outside Disney. Duncan Crabtree, Ireland's a negotiator for SAG.
We are still apart on some key issues, and we're working very hard to bridge those gaps, but we are not there yet. And our members know that they have to stand strong until this deal is done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin lawmakers debated a bill on Tuesday that would allow clerks to start processing absentee ballots a day before Election Day. The bill would not allow elections officials to start counting the votes early, but would allow them to perform other tasks like ensuring voters are eligible and checking for a witness signature. Clerks also wanted to run ballots through voting equipment early, which would not count the vote but allow it to be processed faster, but an amendment to the bill removes that option. A proposed bill in Wisconsin would allocate $1 million of taxpayer money to organizations claiming to be crisis pregnancy centers. According to an Up North News report, the centers are not accredited healthcare clinics, and residents have accused them of using deception and other tactics to coerce women away from abortion care. State Senator Kelda Royce claimed these centers spread lies and rumors that link abortion to breast cancer or other health risks in order to dissuade women from seeking abortions. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers in return get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins a team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
You got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 33.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. KKK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, the second hour. Our committee statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. We're going to go right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. You know, in all honesty, I don't know how those people can put those ads out because that is really defamation of her character. You know, yes, pointing at Robin Voss, but in the meantime, they're defaming, you know, our head of elections. And I think that that is really, you know, outrageous. And is there anything we can do about that? Because, you know, anybody can buy an ad if you got a lot of bucks, and you can send out any kind of lies and garbage. You know, there should be some kind of law to protect her. This is nuts.
Right. She could sue for libel. The problem is you'd have to find somebody who would be willing to take the case and somebody pay the fees. And she's probably a public figure, which means she would have to prove actual malice, which I've handled libel cases on both sides. And I think they're fun, but they are not something you do lightly. And a lot of public figures water off a duck's back. But it has a pernicious, poisonous effect overall. I couldn't agree with you more, Gene. Thanks, as always, for calling. Myron of Menominee Falls. Thanks for calling. Myron, what's in your mind today?
Hi, I'm just calling from Menominee, not Menominee Falls, but that's all right.
That's okay. Okay, I see the Menominee. Somebody put Falls there by accident. I'm sorry. Yeah, what's on your mind, Myron?
The question I have is if Mike Johnson can't report any of his income, what's the possibility that Donald Trump's got a bank that's laundering all the money?
Well, I know he does. You know, Deutsche Bank lent him a lot of money, but there's a bank called the Bank of Cyprus. Now, I'm not saying that Mike Johnson is involved in any of that. My own suspicion is the guy is a few bricks short of a load, okay? And that 7 years have gone by and the guy hasn't checked the box in the checking account. But I don't like that either. If he's a speaker, you'd think he'd pay attention to it. But Donald Trump has laundered money from the Russians for 20 years, even before he was president. One of the reasons why he's sucking up to Putin is he owes Putin a lot of money. I also think that Steele video, that Coprophile video is real because he's frightened of Putin. It's a very sad thing to see a president of the United States frightened of Vladimir Putin. But I don't know that he has helped in any way, this guy Johnson, but why does he need help? He made 250 grand a year between him and his wife. and now he's making about a little over 300. You should be able to live on 300. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you have to have a place to crash in Washington. Some, you're not going to believe this. Some congressmen sleep on their couches. They have like a little bedroom in their office, which is sad. And then some of them, they'll have five or six of them, and they'll all rent a house. And, you know, because real estate's very expensive in Washington, D.C. But I don't buy the fact that he's underpaid or anything. Okay. I mean, I don't buy the fact that he can't get by on 300 grand a year or 250 or 310 or whatever it is. And yeah, you ask a very good question, Myron. Quite frankly, what's going on here? What's going on here? Because I got to tell you again, I do not believe that you can make 250 or 300 grand a year, get a six-figure, couple hundred grand mortgage, have a line of credit, get money on the line of credit, get a personal loan for about, I think it was 10 to 15 grand, and be current on your taxes and do it all without a checking account or a bank account. I mean, I don't believe it. I flat out don't believe it unless somebody else is paying your bills but how do you reimburse them for it? I don't want people bribed. But what I really don't want is this crazy scenario from the Speaker of the House. Forget his party. I don't want it from a Speaker of the House who's two away from the presidency. You know, and Kamala Harris is one away from the presidency. This guy's two away. And I'll tell you what, a guy who was two away before became president. His name is Gerald Ford, because he was the Speaker. And Spiro Agnew was indicted for bribery. And as a plea bargain, he agreed to give up the vice presidency. And then Nixon resigned. Suddenly, Gerald Ford, because he was elevated to temporary vice president, was the president. Now, I didn't think he was very good, but you know something, for Pete's sake, I don't want to take a chance on this guy. You know, if it was Nancy Pelosi, fine. Now, if it was somebody like Kevin McCarthy, I wouldn't like it, but I truly do not want this guy. I truly do not want this guy. Period. End of story. Thanks a lot for calling, Myron. Call again. And I just had somebody take the falls off your Myron from Menominee. Teresa of Eau Claire, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Teresa?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for listening. Two comments I wanted to make. One, on the Mike Johnson thing, I'm kind of the opinion that he's part of a private, not-for-profit religious corporation, which would receive his checks on his behalf and pay his bills on his behalf under the right contractual agreements. And so that's a guess. I, of course, don't know, but that's my guess. And my second comment would be that for what it's worth, for some time now, I've been differentiating from the old Republican GOP to what I like to refer to as MAGA, the LCS. And LCS stands for the Party of Lie, Cheat, Steal. Lie, Cheat, Steal. They're not the GOP, they're the LCS. So that's what I have to say today, Mitch.
Well, that's an excellent comment, a very interesting comment, too. I agree with you 100%. The classic Republican Party, the Dwight Eisenhowers, the Lee Dreyfuses, the Warren Knowles, these were people of stature. Tommy Thompson was a good governor. But what happened? And you know what happened? It was gerrymander under Scott Walker, and then Trump came along. And we are in a very difficult position with the traditional Republican Party gone. And again, my suspicion is the guy just didn't check the box. But if he did, if you're right, if in fact he doesn't have a checking account, something like what you described has to be the case. And I do not want a president of the United States, because he's two away from having to deal with some religious organization who pays his bills. I think that's just plain strange, and I don't want it at all. Thanks a lot for calling, Teresa. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Well, you can always count on mega people to always pick another Looney Tune for the cartoon. The interesting thing about this Mike Johnson is actually had worked with a guy named that same name who was also an ultra-right person. But who knows what that means. But let's talk about the new Mike Johnson for the Speaker. He is under a microscope. Already people can read him like a book. We know what he's about. We know what he's there for. And unlike some of the other ones we're kind of ready for him. I mean, heck, we went to school under that goofball Jim Jordan and McCarthy. Well, this guy's, and he's going to be called out. He's going to be called out. And you know what gets me is people say, oh, this guy is worse yet. No, he's not worse yet. He's just in keeping with the rest of the criminals. But America's gotten to the point. We already know it. I mean, right now, I just watched Don Jr. walk into court. And he had, you know, if that was my dad, I wouldn't have the smile on the face that Don had on his face. I really wouldn't. Because if that was my dad, that was, I wouldn't look so ridiculously idiotic.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. As always, you make some very, very great points. And I want to pick up on what you just said about Don Trump Jr., because during the break, I went quick running into my TV and I did see him walking in, but it's not televised, so you can't hear what he said. But I saw a text that came out of it that said he has denied, he's an executive, a senior executive running the whole thing. He's denied knowledge of any of the business of the accounts. Now, let me tell you something. If you are in effect the constructive CEO, because Don Trump Sr., the bad guy, the guy running for president, that Donald Trump never gives up control, but his son is the guy under him. How can he say he doesn't know anything about the business of the accounts? I mean, he's got to be careful about perjuring himself. And then we have, okay, we're going to take another call because I want to comment on this further. But Bill, thanks for calling. Pat from the East Side, my friend. Thanks for calling. Pat, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I know you like to tell us we should know history. The history in 1973 was that Carl Albert, I believe, was Speaker of the House, and Jerry Ford was House Minority Leader. And that because the Democrats held the House in the early 70s.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Pat, thank you so much. Let me correct that. Spiro Agnew went down for fraud. And you're right. The Democrats had the House. Gerald Ford was a minority leader. Under the constitutional succession, the president, if the minority leader or if the vice president dies or can't serve, the president appoints someone, but they have to be ratified by the House. And he knew that Gerald Ford would be ratified because he was the minority leader. You're absolutely right. He was the minority leader. And so he was installed as vice president. Then lo and behold, a year later, the head guy bows out, Richard Nixon. And it was a plea bargain. He said, we won't impeach you. And we won't prosecute you. Oh, and if we do, then Gerald Ford will pardon you, which he did. You're absolutely right. But the point is, nobody, when he got up the morning, every morning of his life, he had no idea he'd ever be president, ever, ever. He was from Michigan and he was just a good old boy. Suddenly, lightning strikes. Spiro Agnew goes down, Nixon goes down, and he is president. I am concerned things happen. I think this is 50 years later. If something happens with Biden or Kamala Harris, I do not want Mike Johnson as the president of the United States. There are too many questions about the guy, his judgment, frankly, his finances, to be very honest with you. Who's controlling him? What he knows? We have to be very, very careful. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to pick up a little more on the business of Donald Trump, Don Trump Jr. testifying. Remember, he testifies this afternoon. Eric Trump is going to be next, and then Ivanka, probably on Monday. Ivanka just filed an emergency appeal to bar her from having to testify, just trying to delay things. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal. She was initially a defendant, along with her brothers, along with her father. She appealed, and the court, the appellate court, dismissed her as a defendant because they said that she had not been with the company after 2016, and that was the relevant time period. However, she, as it turns out, that's true, she may not have been in a formal sense, but she was the negotiator. She was the negotiator with Deutsche Bank for her father, and she was very much involved, although they couldn't show, I guess, that she profited. Who knows what it was? Anyway, they let her out. So she's going, well, they let me out, so I don't have to testify. Well, no, there's an awful lot of people that testify in civil and criminal cases that didn't do the crime. They weren't involved but they are relevant witnesses, and she's a relevant witness. So I don't think that's going to work, but she'll tie it up for a bunch of weeks. Probably that's why she's doing it. But here's my concern about Donald Trump. As you know, as I've said before, I think he's feeding violence into our politics. Remember Fannie Willis? There's a guy from Alabama who's going to kill her, and they just indicted him. Somebody threatened Tanya Chutkan, the judge in D.C., and then they were criminally charged. He says these things, you know, that poor clerk, for Pete's sake, in New York, he posts her picture and he posts her name on his social media. The judge says, take it down. He sneakily left it on his website for another couple of weeks. So the judge found out. If you did that, normally you'd be in jail for doing that. But here's what he's done now, believe it or not. He attacked the judge. He attacked the judge himself in his New York case. Here's what he said to the judge. He didn't say it to his face. He goes on social media and says this, quote, leave my children alone. You know, the judge didn't call them as witnesses. Letitia James called them as witnesses. He goes, leave my children alone. He said, now Ivanka testified. This was Letitia James's reason for wanting to testify, because she was the key point of contact and negotiator with Deutsche Bank for three loans, which are the heart of Letitia James's case. And here's what Trump says about that. He says, quote, the rigged trial brought by the racist attorney general before the developer-hating judge, Arthur Erdogan, the star witness, the sleazebag lawyer, Michael Cohen, lied. Leave my children alone, Erdogan. You are a disgrace to the legal profession. This is the judge. You are a disgrace to the legal profession. Now, if you say that to a judge, you're going to be held in contempt. And a lot of judges, if it was the first time, might just fine you and warn you. But if you've been doing this for months now, they'd put you in jail, starting out 5 or 10 days, just to give you a taste of what it's like. But he said that. But then the thing that blew me away, he has a lawyer named Alina Haba. And she got up and she slammed the judge for not dismissing his children. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a lawyer, it's a whole different ballgame. than being a litigant who's not a lawyer. If you're a lawyer and you are disrespectful to the judge, much less this kind of stuff, you can be disciplined by the bar. You will certainly be fined by the judge. And depending on the words that Alina Haba used and how she used them, did she use them to his face? Did she post it? But to slam the judge for a decision you don't like when his decision was required by law is a good way to get discipline. In this case, Letitia James called Don Jr. as a witness, Eric Trump as a witness, and Ivanka Trump as a witness. Don and Eric are defendants. They're defendants. They're being sued. They went up on appeal trying to be thrown out, and the court said no. You absolutely have a right to question at trial somebody you're suing. That's an absolute right. And Ivanka Trump went up on appeal and was dismissed from the case because she apparently was involved with the company after 2016. But she was the key negotiator on the three major loans that Letitia James is prosecuted on. That's a laydown. You subpoena her and you make her testify. For a lawyer, Alina Haba, to attack the judge for not dismissing them, two of them are defendants. The other one negotiated the three principal loans that are at issue in the case. It's not only frivolous. I would fine her. I'd fine her 10 grand. And I would forbid her getting contribution from Trump or charging Trump. And if she does it again, I'd put her in the clink for a couple of days. At some point, he can order that she not represent Trump. That's a very hard sell in this case because the trial's already started. So he wouldn't do that. But my fear with this, with Trump, is when you say, and here it is, this rigged trial brought by the racist. What do you mean racist? Only because she's African-American, she's black. That's the only reason he says it. He's the one raising it, not her. He's the one raising it. Okay. And this before developer hating Judge Arthur Erdogan. He hates developers. He's in New York. A lot of his cases have developers on both sides of the case. Developers usually sue each other. Are you kidding me? This is his bread and butter, for Pete's sake. And then their star witness is sleazebag lawyer Michael Cohen. The gag office said he can't attack witnesses. You call a witness a sleazebag and that he lied? That's a violation of that order. Flat out, that's a violation of the order. And then he said, leave my children alone, Erdogan, his last name, Erdogan. You are a disgrace to the legal profession. I would fine him. I would absolutely fine him. Erdogan did not put his own name in the gag order, so theoretically, Trump can attack him. However, even if there's no gag order, the Trump has contempt power if you attack the integrity of the judge. He doesn't need a gag order. I'll be honest with you. Chutkin bent over backwards. This guy Erdogan has bent over backwards. He's fined him twice. But the problem with Judge, you know, look, Trump says he's a billionaire. Maybe he's lying, but at least he has a lot of money. Okay, he has a lot of money. 5 or 10 grand doesn't mean beans to him. So if now you fine him 50 grand, doesn't mean beans to him. His base loves it. But this is what he is doing today. And I'm going to be very interested to hear how Don Trump Jr. wiggled out of saying, well, okay, you're the head of the company. You don't know anything about its business or its accounts. Obviously, that has no credibility. But more importantly, it's false. And I think he is at least coming close to perjury. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Terrible summer, bloody red sun of fantastic L.A.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some people to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a Badger Care public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. A prisoner died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. That's the third death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have had to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A warrant has been issued for a Northwest Wisconsin man in connection to charges of reckless homicide and bail jumping in Sawyer County. Calvin Riley was charged with reckless homicide after allegedly supplying drugs to a victim who later died from a fentanyl overdose in May of 2022. The victim was identified only as GR. If convicted, Riley faces a maximum of 46 years in prison. The arrest warrant was issued on Tuesday, but Riley has not yet been arrested. Wisconsin pharmacists are calling for help as they try to keep up with increasing demand. According to a WPR report, organizers at CVS and Walgreens stores are planning additional walkouts over the next 3 days as staff struggle with growing workloads and declining staffing exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Pharmacy staff are also seeing an increase in patient outbursts and harassment when patients' medications aren't covered by insurance or when there's manufacturer shortages. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers, in return, get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins a team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
You got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 33.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Going right, our lines are still open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Mark from Wisconsin, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
I was listening yesterday. A woman called in about Russian money associated with the new speaker, Johnson. I was wondering if you were going to comment on that today or if you're betting it. I Googled it, and it sounds like she was accurate in everything she said.
Well, yeah, here's my view. It is illegal. Give you an example. It's illegal, which doesn't mean it doesn't happen, for foreign nationals to contribute to an American campaign. So in other words, if you're an American citizen, you can do it. But if you're not, it's against the law to contribute to a campaign. Mitch McConnell and a lot of the senators on the Republican side got massive contributions from a guy who was essentially a Russian oligarch, but he got himself British citizenship, and British citizenship is very, very easy to get. You can basically buy it. Once you're a British citizen, it's easier to get American citizenship. So he got American citizenship too, dual citizenship with America and Britain, even though he's a Russian oligarch. Once he's an American citizen, he technically can give this money, but you know that his heart's in Russia. Now, Mike Johnson, I know nothing about the guy. I truly don't. In fact, when I heard that he was going to be the speaker, because very common name, I Googled the guy. And I saw not much. I mean, he doesn't have much experience. I can't believe that he's two away from the presidency. So the speculation from the one caller, and she referenced this Maria Butina, who is a Russian spy and had been hanging around NRA meetings and Republican meetings. She's in a photograph with Scott Walker, our former governor, believe it or not. So I have no idea if Mike Johnson knew her or met her, or he's in a photograph or any of that. I have no idea. But her speculation, as I recall, and this is the other day, was Maria Butina was a spy, a Russian spy. And did she contribute? Well, first of all, his campaign has to disclose any contribution. And I can't believe that he shows Maria Butina, who went to prison for being a Russian spy and is now in the Russian Duma, which is their parliament. So the Russians have gotten a lot of money to Trump, hundreds of millions of dollars over the years, because as loans, which they never collect. Also, the Bank of Cyprus. Bank of Cyprus is a bank that has been accused of money laundering for the Russian mob. And one of the three directors was Wilbur Ross, who was the Commerce Secretary under Trump. So Trump owed money to some of these banks. And the question is that how the Russian oligarchs funnel money to him? Why is he afraid of Putin? Why is he so pro-Russian? With Mike Johnson, I don't know. I know there was that comment that came in. I do not have any further information. But I will say this. I think it's very strange. A guy who's making anywhere from 250 to over 300 has no bank accounts, has no investment accounts, has no stocks, has no bonds, has no retirement account, has no other than his congressional thing, which is just a promise in the future. And even then, I think he has to have served at least 10 years, I think. But I find it weird. And how he pays his bills, because he has debts. He has a mortgage. He has a line of credit. He had another personal loan in a very small amount, like 10 to 15 grand. What's that all about? Where does his money go? Where does his paycheck go? There is no indication from the IRS that he's in default on his taxes, and you can't just get his taxes. The press just can't get his taxes. But how does he pay the IRS? You know, what account did he pay it out of? You know, you just can't send the IRS 25 grand in bills in a package and insure it or something and send it through UPS. I mean, so he's obviously doing commercial transactions. I just do not know how he's doing it. And in terms of the Russian involvement, that would have to show up on A, his campaign contributions. But I've never heard anybody say there's anything weird about that. B, it would show up in his bank accounts, which you can subpoena and look at, but he doesn't have a bank account. So I don't know what's going on. Mark, that's a very perceptive question. Thanks an awful lot. I want to raise a quick issue. You know, we in the Democratic Party will frequently go around and say, you know, the Voting Rights Act, for instance, had automatic registration. Automatic registration. Some people say you should automatically register to vote when you graduate from high school. Every senior graduating class should be registered. Some say when you put in for a driver's license. Here's the law, here's the facts, here's what happened in Pennsylvania, and here's my deep concern about it. Right now, 23 states have automatic registration. Oregon was the one that started it in 2016. They have automatic registration, typically through their Department of Motor Vehicles. So you're issued your license, you're registered. Now, Pennsylvania just did something different. Shapiro, the governor, is a good guy, came out and they're passing automatic registration, but they don't do it automatically. What they do is when you get your driver's license, they hand you the form, say, we encourage you to fill it out, but you don't have to fill it out. Now, there's some faith traditions that don't want to vote. And so even in the 23 states that have automatic registration, you can opt out. But the point is, it's better to opt out when the default would be you'd be registered than somehow be not able to opt out, or you have to firmly register yourself. But you can opt out. Even though there are 23 states, three of them, and these are three states that are looking at them, Georgia's a swing state, Alaska, Georgia, and West Virginia, are run by Republicans, even with automatic registration. When Pennsylvania did that, and it just happened right now, Donald Trump put out a message, an attack on Truth Social, saying, quote, this is a disaster for the election of Republicans, including your favorite president, me, M-E, in capital letters. This guy's crazy, okay? He puts that out. But some political scientists with very good credentials have questioned that, and they've said, be careful what you wish for. Automatic registration, it's crazy Republicans are fighting it. It actually might help them. And here's the theory. In Oregon, the first one to do it in 2016, it basically automatically registered younger rural voters and lower income voters in rural areas, and also more ethnically diverse around the state. Okay, that sounds great, but a lot of the registration were in demographic areas that voted Republican. Oregon is still basically a Democratic state, but they have had Republicans elected statewide. The Knight Foundation surveyed 12,000 chronic non-voters before the Democrats selected Joe Biden in 2020. By chronic non-voters, they poll people and people say, no, I never vote. And then they would ask them questions. They say 12,000 of these people. And Biden wasn't involved because no one knew who the nominee was going to be. So what they did was they asked them this question. In the 2020 election, Trump is president. Would you, if you did vote, and I know you're not going to vote because you're not registered, would you vote for the Democrat unnamed or Donald Trump? And Donald Trump. Now, nationwide, it was 33-30. They'd vote for the Democrat. 33% for the Democrat, 30% for Trump. But in Pennsylvania, the chronic non-voters selected Trump over the Democrat, 36-28. So be very careful about this. I think I stand by the Voting Rights Act. I think that it was terrific, and I think it was important. And there are many other things that are important about it. But do not think that just because we have automatic registration, you're automatically going to help the Democrats. And let me give you a couple of other statistics. Last year, turnout in Philadelphia was 43% in Pennsylvania, but it was 54% statewide. One of the reasons why automatic registration at the Department of Motor Vehicles doesn't necessarily help in urban areas, and New York's a good example, and Philadelphia is a good example, is because a lot of people don't own a car and don't have driver's licenses. They use mass transit or they can't afford a car. What they did is they essentially registered more rural voters, which is fine. We're all Americans. But in the demographics of voting, as it turned out, with Trump's support in some of those areas, that didn't help. They polled in New York 3 million households, the 3 million households in New York, and a majority of them did not own a car. I lived in New York as a kid. You know, my dad, when he came back from World War II in the Marine Corps, he and my mom were married, and he got a scholarship to Fordham University in the Bronx, a really great university. So we lived there when I was a kid. Nobody had a car. You can't afford a car. You can't afford a place to park a car. And the traffic is terrible. You take, you know, unless you're driving long distances. So all I'm saying is do not think that just because that portion of the Voting Rights Act sounds terrific. Automatic registration, bingo, we're home free. We're not home free. And I'll tell you one other thing. I have some friends up in the 7th Congressional District, far north. I have relatives in Hayward, but I'm talking about farther north, up around Superior, you know, up around that whole area along Lake Superior, and friends in Duluth, for that matter, which is in Minnesota. But when I was chairman of the party back in the early 80s, that was a Democratic area. The state representatives, the state senators in Superior and that whole area in Ashland and everything, they were Democrats. They were absolutely Democrats. I'll tell you one other weird thing. There were farmers in northwestern Wisconsin back in the 70s who used Russian tractors from the 1930s. That was back when everybody was a big kumbaya thing, and they all thought that the Russian experiment, which turned out to be Stalin communism, but they didn't know it. And a couple of them used Russian tractors. In the 1970s, that stopped, but you had Democrats up there. I was talking to one of my friends up there who's a very, very astute political mind, who was on the staff of Dave Obie at one time, and very, very fine person. And I said to her, you know, we got to get rid of gerrymandering. And she agreed. Yeah, we got to get rid of gerrymandering. And she said, but Matt, you know, it wouldn't make any difference up here, because now they've all Republican state senators and assembly. I said, what do you mean it wouldn't make any difference up there? She said, you can slice it any way you want it up here, and they're still going to vote Republican. And I said, what happened to the 1980s when Obie was there and we went around everywhere Democrat? She says, changed. I can't define it. I can't explain why it's changed, but it's changed. So getting rid of gerrymandering is essential, especially in the rest of the state. Automatic registration on balance is terrific all over the state. You know, having uniformity in voting machines and all that is essential. The Voting Rights Act is essential. But I think we have to think more deeply about this. And I think that the example in the Pennsylvania polling of chronic non-voters, and the fact that in large cities you don't sign up as many because they don't have cars and they don't have driver's licenses as you do elsewhere in the state, has to be taken into account. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground. And I won't back down.
93.5 The Tap.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Finbrick. Your lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Kurt and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Kurt, what's in your mind today?
I wanted to speak to the judges involved with Trump. You know, as I grew up, and I'm sure you as well, we always looked up to certain figureheads as being examples of how to be a good person and do the right thing, and that could be a policeman, a fireman, a politician, a president. Judges are in a unique position over almost any other position. And what annoys me is everyone that I always talk to about this topic, what we see is unequal representation. And what I mean by that is, if it was any person that was a nobody, and I use that word in terms like, you know, of any popularity or notoriety, the judge will come down on them like a hammer. But the minute you have someone of influence, all of a sudden they're bending over backwards, giving them chance after chance. So my problem is, what lesson is the judge teaching everybody else when he allows an individual, and I'll use Trump in this case, to continue to violate and break the rules and not suffer any real penalty? Because we all know the money is pointless. It's like me giving you a nickel. Big deal.
Right. You know, that's a very, very good point. And it was well phrased. I think that Erdogan, the guy in New York, is essentially a good guy. Tanya Chutkan is as well. The judge in Fannie Willis's case in Georgia is as well. I think that Eileen Mercedes Cannon is in Trump's pocket. But I think what's going on, and this is the first time in American history that a former president is being tried in four criminal cases, plus a fifth fraud case, who served as president, was beaten, and is now running again. I find it hard to believe that will ever happen again. I mean, I hope that never happens again. He's been indicted on 91 counts, felony counts, 91 in four courts with three prosecutors. 91. You remember, there's also a criminal case in New York, not this case by Letitia James, but the guy by Alvin Bragg brought the other case that's still pending. So if you're a judge, what do you do? In the first place, what he has done, Kurt, if you or I did that, we would be in jail. We would be in jail, threatening the clerks, threatening the other lawyers, threatening the judge, threatening the witnesses, when you've been told not to, with two gag orders. One in New York, one in Washington, D.C., we'd be in jail. I think what they're thinking of is the logistics of how you put him in jail. I think that's what they're thinking of. You said something very profound when you said that if you're a little guy or nobody, and I know you didn't mean to demean the people. What you mean is somebody without a lot of money, without a lot of status, no name recognition, nobody recognized them. They would be treated a lot worse than a big shot with a lot of money, a lot of status, and you can't get much more status than being a former president and being a front runner in your primary for the next nomination. The good news is, in the old days, I saw judges who would be meaner to nobodies. And I use that term generically, meaning somebody has very little money or status. In other words, they'd sentence them to more years. They'd be more disrespectful to them in court and all that. I don't think that's what's happening here. What's happening here is a disparity in treatment for abusive, contemptuous conduct that may lead to violence. I couldn't agree more. What I have said in previous shows, and I'll say now, is it's time to give him a few days in jail. You know, they wouldn't put anybody in jail for a long period of time, but 5 days, 10 days, 3 days, where he has to get up when he's told to get up, eat wood in a metal tray, use the toilet with the guards looking at him in the jail cell. And I think the way you do that is you clear a wing of the jail and you let all the Secret Service that they want come into the adjacent cell, his cell, any cell they want, and monitor it. And I think that that's what he should do. Is Judge Erdogan going to do that? Is Tanya Chutkan going to do that? I don't know, but I couldn't agree more. I will say I stand up for them. I think they're good people. They are worried about the logistics. Thanks a lot, Kurt. Abe in Milwaukee, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind, Abe?
Love is keeping God's commandments.
Pardon me?
Love, Abe, is keeping God's commandments.
The commandments? Can you say that again, Abe? I'm sort of losing you. Maybe a microphone connection.
Love is keeping God's commandments.
Yeah, I'm not picking up. You know what I would say is, if you could tell Anya, my producer, what you're thinking, and she'll text me, and then I'd like to respond. And if I don't get to it today, I'll get to it tomorrow. I think you said something about the commandments, and I'm not sure if you're referring to the Ten Commandments, and I respect that. And the question is which one, but thank you for calling, Abe, and let Anya know what your comment. And then I think you said love is keeping God's commandments. I think that's what you said. Anya just texted me. Thank you very much, Anya. Okay. So, Abe, I agree. Love is keeping God's commandments. Unfortunately, there are people that don't keep God's commandments. Vladimir Putin doesn't keep God's commandments. Donald Trump doesn't keep them. I'm beginning to be very sadly suspicious that Mike Johnson doesn't keep them. And right now we have people in politics who don't keep them, and we need more good people like you who do keep them. I think that's very important. I really appreciate your calling in, but your comment that love is keeping God's commandments is a good one. And I just wish that more people followed your advice. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. This has been a great show. Great show with great callers, great questions. And stand by for another great show, which is Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. And I'm signing off for today.
Well, hey, hey, little water boy.
Who's that water boy, man?
Bring the bucket down. Wah, wah.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.